Mr. Chair.
Oh, good, good. Well, I'm glad that, okay. My name is Jim Graham, and I'm a member from the District of Columbia, and I call to order this 1340th meeting of the Board of Directors of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority. Do we have any public comment today? Is there anyone who wishes to make a public comment today? Seeing none, we will pass that period. We have the approval of the agenda. The agenda is before you. Are there modifications or suggestions in that regard? Hearing none, then all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The agenda is approved. We have the minutes of the March 26, 2009 board meeting. Is there a motion to approve the minutes as if read?
So moved.
It's been moved by Mr. Benjamin. Is there a second? It's been seconded by Mr. Albert. Is there discussion, discussion, discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. The minutes are approved. We have Ms. Zinko is here. I saw her. And we will now have the report by the Writers Advisory Council. Ms. Zinko.
Attended all of the public hearings that we held this month on the service
Thank you very much, Chairperson Zinkel. Are there questions or comments from the board? Mrs. Hutchins.
Thank you. Ms. Zinkel, your letter on the bus cuts indicates you've not received the general manager's budget. You've not received what we have in terms of what the general manager proposed for 2010.
What we have is a series of PowerPoint presentations that were, as I understand it, designed to accompany the discussions that the board held over the service cut. In prior years, REC members had received an actual budget book, and I think, and we had asked at one time if a budget book would be made available. I think at our February REC meeting, we had a presentation from someone at the authority on the budget, and we asked for a budget book, and we're told that one would be made available at a later date, and we have yet to receive that or find it posted on the website.
Well, I would just like to state that I think I would hope that this board would make certain that we can get, the staff can get that to them more than expeditiously, since we are at the point of ready to approve our budget. So we would want you to have seen exactly the things that we're going to see. Okay.
Let's ask Mr. Cato for his response to this issue.
Actually, Mr. Chair, Carol Kissel is going to explain where we are in that process.
Oh, yes, thank you. We are currently validating our schedules for the budget that we currently have for 2010, and we'll be prepared to send out in the next week or two to the board a preliminary draft and detailed schedules of our 2010 budget, and we can provide that to the RAC member, the REC members as well, and that'll be ready probably, I would say, in the next 2 weeks.
Just say, if I may, are you completed with your?
Just to end my point, I guess to my question, then you have not provided to them a document that would basically sum up what you presented to us.
Yes, all those documents are on the website and are accessible to the REC as well as the public. We've also provided to the REC and to the JCC very specific details of what I'm speaking about. And actually, I think all those details on the specifics will be presented to the JCC tomorrow at tomorrow's meeting.
And I just wanted to make clear that we are not about to look at a budget in which we have not shared that same information with the RAC, because I think that's where we are. That does not mean that any changes that the general manager and staff may make would not come to us, that have not come to us, would have gone to
us. And let me just clarify, all of the information that we are providing is really up to the budget deficit gap that we are currently. So it's really everything that we've provided to the board and the committees. But it has a lot more of the detail that we have not provided yet, and we actually are ready to do that to the board. So,
Mr. Benjamin?
I guess I'd like to reinforce the request from the Riders Advisory Council. Several times since December, I have asked for a budget book because, among other things, the Maryland legislative analysts have been asking for it and wondering how we as a board can approve a budget based on a series of PowerPoint presentations, and we've never been given any more. I hope we will get something before you ask us to approve this budget, and I hope next year we will get a substantially improved performance in which we actually get the budget proposal in December or January, not in April or May.
Yes, I'm responding to your specific request, Mr. Benjamin, at the last FAO meeting where you wanted to have a draft budget book. So this materials that we're providing is in response to that request. And on the second point, we will actually accelerate the final budget book, which typically is published in September of the new fiscal year. We're actually anticipating that we would have a final budget book in July, so 2 months earlier, and we would actually start the budget for the next fiscal year earlier, as you had suggested.
So next year we'll see something in, say, January?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Mayor Yule?
Yes, I'm familiar with this, but I haven't looked, but my assumption is that even as we speak right now, whatever we and wherever That is on Lamont's website, it's online.
I have another question.
Mr. Benjamin?
I have another question about the letter as you wrote it, and that is, you urge the board and member jurisdictions to continue to explore other alternatives to cuts. Do you have any specific recommendations?
Well, I think there are a couple of options that RIC members would prefer, and I would summarize them as anything.
Is it playing the lottery? You
know, yeah. I think one option that has been discussed many times is improving advertising revenue. I realize that may be something that's very difficult to do in the short term, but you know, things like the advertisements in
did they have any result? I'm sorry.
Ms. Zinkel, I guess I want to say that there is not a single member of this board who likes the idea of any service modifications or reductions whatsoever. And we have struggled mightily to try and find alternatives. And what we really welcome from the Writers Advisory Council is, after observing all the struggles that we've done to increase advertising, to cut costs, to find ways to increase subsidies in any way, shape, or form, as any other proposals that are useful. But very honestly, we're in the same place you are. We are sitting there saying, we do not want to cut service. We don't see many alternatives at this point.
Mr. Lenton?
Advertising agencies, there's a lot of variables that you need to examine before you can just visually make a determination that one property is doing better than others. And since I've had a chance to look at that across the country, I think if the RAC wanted to look at, you know, and get some concrete information that allows you to make some decisions and understand that and kind of get under the hood, then that's something that, you know, can help you with.
Well, that might help us understand if we had more information. It's possible that you see more advertising in other public transit systems, but it's not necessarily generating more revenue. I mean, that's a possibility. I don't think we would necessarily have that kind of technical sophistication with regard to public transit systems. You know, I think that you have to understand that I have to speak as
Mr. Linton, have you completed your comment?
I think I have.
Thank you. Mr. Zimmerman?
You know, one of the reasons that I think the Writers' Council is a useful thing is it gives an opportunity for people who are regular users of the system to become more familiar with the day-to-day facts of running it. They can therefore provide useful information to us from the perspective of a writer. But that's only true to the extent to which they actually do become familiar with that, accept the realities, and try to engage in some of the same hard choices that we ultimately have to do. You know, which is part of what I said to you in the group when I met with you in February. And so, you know, I have to say it's a little discouraging to me to hear, you know, number one, that the council is able to offer essentially no recommendation whatsoever other than please don't cut, which, you know, nobody wants to do. And particularly to hear things that I know I hear all the time, you know, that there's a magic thing out there that if we just do some more advertising, that was, I get that from people all the time. I also, by the way, get messages in my email box every single week saying, please stop ad creep on Metro. It's getting completely covered with advertising. But the simple reality is that, you know, you answered yourself with why we're not solving the budget that way. You see buses in which their advertising's empty or it's old stuff. Well, why do you think that is? You can't always sell it. And the heyday of advertising money was basically a decade ago. You know, there's still money to be made, and we are making money in advertising, and you saw from the thing just done, was it Farragut or whatever, that, you know, we're looking at new and innovative ways to do that and making any little dime or nickel we can. But all of that together is a tiny little fraction of the revenue needed to run this service. And, you know, not everyone's going to understand that. I really would hope that people serving the Writers' Council and coming to these meetings would understand that. If there's not enough information being presented to them, Mr. Cato, then we got to look at, you know, what we're doing so that they have all the facts in front of them. If there was, I mean, I really would like to know, I'd like to see, you ask the members there, next time you have a meeting, do they really believe that we could solve this problem with a little more advertising and for some reason the authority wouldn't do it, and instead we're going through this kind of pain? You know, we do need realistic options, and I, you know, a lot of us would support the idea of higher subsidy, but, you know, we don't control that here. And we actually have had the jurisdictions come up with some additional subsidy. That actually is part of what's happening here now. But there is an amount by which we're looking at essentially either doing something cutting service, deferring maintenance further, or having some small add-on to fare. And those are fundamentally the choices that came down to. It's unfortunate that you don't have an opinion to offer us on that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson Zinko. We appreciate your comments today. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman.
Mrs. Hutchins?
I just wanted to give one small piece to the board members and the staff in saying thank you to Ms. Accomini and Mr. Cherney for their service on the RAC, and I hope that we'll convey that. Thanks.
Okay. Now we proceed to the chairman's report. I do want to note that we will have a report at, we're having a special meeting of the board of directors next Thursday, April the 30th. To receive a report on the public comments, a detailed report on the public comments that we received as a result of the public hearing process, and to discuss other matters relating to the FY10 budget. I do want to say at this juncture, however, that the Metro Board of Directors that convened six public hearings for public comment purposes on the FY10 service reductions proposed and other matters relating to the budget. We did give notice of the hearings in the Washington Post, the Washington Hispanic, El Tiempo Latino, India This Week, Express India. It was posted on buses and sent to area libraries in the District of Columbia, Maryland, and Virginia, and posted, of course, on WMATA.com, which is our website. The participation at the hearings can be briefly summarized. There were six hearings, as I said. There were two hearings held on April the 13th, one in Vienna, Virginia, one in Hyattsville, Maryland. Vienna had five speakers and five people in attendance. Hyattsville had 38 speakers and 120 people in attendance. Wheaton, which was the April 14th, had 28 speakers and 70 people in attendance. Arlington, on April the 15th, had 16 speakers and 25 people in attendance. Washington, D.C., Mr. Albert chaired this hearing, had 18 speakers and 75 people in attendance. And then the final hearing was held last Friday night, April the 17th. I was privileged to chair that hearing here at our headquarters, and we had 50 speakers and 150 in attendance. And so we also received 2,600 pieces of written testimony in the form of emails, letters, faxes, postcards, and petitions. And so that is the factual summary of what we received in response to our notice of public hearing.
Mr. Chairman. Question.
Mr. McKay?
You mentioned the April 30th meeting, and my understanding was we were getting a detailed report on the public hearings and what happened, but you mentioned that there may be other information regarding the FY10 budget, and I just wanted to get clarification of what was actually on the agenda for April 30th. Is it a presentation on the public hearings, or is it also a larger presentation on the budget?
It's the staff report of the comments from the public hearing, as well as action steps to take for a decision on what actions we will take as an organization. But it will go through very detailed information on revenues, funding, as well as services, and what the comments were and what the action steps are.
Okay, thank you.
Now we proceed to the General Manager's Report. Mr. Cato.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning, Board. There are a few items to discuss. The first is, of course, as you mentioned, we just held a series of six public hearings, and I had the opportunity to attend four of those on the proposed 2010 budget, as well as proposed service adjustments. First, I'd like to thank all the members of the public who came to those hearings to express their opinions and concerns. From a personal perspective, I've been in this business for 30 years, and my observation was that our customers clearly articulated what the impacts of these service reductions would be to them and to their communities. And generally, they did so in a very professional manner. And I'd like to thank them for their input, and it's very vital to us as staff of the organization, as you mentioned, as board members, to hear what's in the mind of our customers. We're currently going through all of that testimony, both at the hearings and comments that were submitted electronically, and thus far we've received over 2,600 pieces of written testimony in the form of emails, faxes, postcards, letters, and petitions. We will be able to provide you next week, earlier, as soon as we put it all together, a detailed summary report of the public comments is received. And I'm sure that we will be having discussion from this point until the meeting that we have on the 30th. Moving ahead with the stimulus, economic stimulus projects, Metro is moving forward with the start of the various projects, and we have accomplished several key goals. As we prepare to use the dollars that have been allocated to us. For the purposes of transparency, we have established a website to enable the public to track federal spending on the various stimulus projects, and the website address is www.ramada.com/stimulus, and we will have that information on our regular website, and as well as have the information available for our customers so they can follow and track our actions. On April 13th, we held our first internal economic stimulus program review meeting. The purpose of this standing biweekly meeting with my executive leadership team is to ensure the timely obligation and expenditures of funds from the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, or is known as the Economic Stimulus Program, and to hold my team accountable for results. On April 15th, the Transportation Planning Board approved amendments to the Transportation Improvement Program, or the TIP, to reflect the board's actions on the stimulus plan of contracts. And what was a very important milestone to reach last week we submitted our grant applications to the Federal Transit Administration, and now they will review and execute those grants and allow us to seek reimbursements for those planned expenditures. As of April 20th, 34 contracts associated with stimulus projects have been advertised. We are on a pace to have approximately 85% of our stimulus program allocations obligated by September of this year. As a result, we will be able and eligible to pursue, and we will pursue, the distribution of any unobligated economic stimulus funds should some agencies fail to meet the timelines. Again, I will continue to provide the board with updates as the program progresses. On a very recent issue, Monday night, I'm sure you have heard and there's been communications, we had a situation where the Net informed us, the Nationals rather, informed us that they had a rain delay. The game was scheduled to start at 7:30. And they notified us as normal procedures dictate. Later that night, they had a second delay, and the discussion was, would we operate late night service beyond the 12 midnight deadline that we normally operate? We had no plans to do so because we did not expect, of course, a delay, and we didn't have a plan scheduled to delay the services. After discussions between various members of the public and elected officials and others, the situation was elevated up to a higher level within the organization, and obviously the decision was we would continue operation of the services in spite of being notified that we would not be reimbursed from the head of the Department of Transportation in the district. I have to say first, I have been notified by that, by the DDOT director, that the District of Columbia will continue to pay for those services and to further notice. And so that policy or that decision has been rescinded. I also would like to communicate we were consistent with board policy, but Metro would not knowingly take thousands of people to an event and leave them there stranded. Having said that, we need to work out situations where that does occur, which we do, and in cases at most of the venues within the region, that there is some responsible party to reimburse us. So right now that has been resolved with the District of Columbia that until further notice, unless notified otherwise, the district will reimburse us for those services. From a Metro Rail standpoint, this month we added 20 rail cars to the rail fleet. As a result, Metro added 3 8-car trains to both the red and green lines. The remaining cars are being used as gap cars that will be available when other trains experience problems or to support the summer tourist season during rush hours. With the additional cars, we now have 850 rail cars in service during the rush hours on each weekday, the most, again, scheduled services in our history. This increase was made possible due to the recent upgrade of our power substations and the acceptance of the last of the 6,000 series rail cars programs executed under the Metro Matters Agreement. Next Wednesday, April 29th, Board Chairman Jim Graham and I will be testifying on Capitol Hill on the issues that the agencies, that this agency is facing and the progress we've made and continue to make on the number of fronts. A subcommittee of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee has scheduled an oversight hearing, which will also include our Inspector General, the FTA Executive Director, the Chair of the Riders Advisory Committee, and other advocates for transit, including a labor representative. I look forward to a good discussion about our successes as well as our challenges. Yesterday, I was pleased that the Vice President of the United States, Joe Biden chose Metro's Common Turner facility as a place to launch new initiatives on a clean alternative fuels program. Working with the state of Maryland, we were able to provide our facility for that celebration. The Vice President announced that the Department of Energy is going to make $300 million in funding available to state and local governments and transit authorities to expand the nation's fleet of clean, sustainable vehicles with a funding infrastructure available to them so they can run. We will apply for dollars under the Recovery Act funds to purchase additional vehicles and or fueling stations. Mr. Benjamin joined Governor O'Malley, Senator Cardin, and Congresswoman Edwards of Maryland, and myself at the Common Turner facility, where we had close to 150 bus maintenance employees on hand to join the Vice President in his announcement. We were proud to display three of our Metro hybrid and CNG vehicles, along with hybrid buses from the Maryland Transit Authority and Howard County Transit. The Vice President was extremely generous during his and gracious during his visit, and I was delighted that he took the time many minutes after his presentation to interact with Metro employees, to shake their hands, to take pictures, to get hugs. I thought it was a campaign event. He did an outstanding job, again, in making our employees feel proud and their contribution to public transportation and clean air in the region. Mr. Chairman, the next part of my presentation, well, I'm completed my presentation. If you have any questions, I'm available to answer those.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cato. The only comment that I would make is that since you raised the issue of the Nationals overtime and how it affected the Metro WMATA system, that, you know, we do feel that there is a need here for a general policy relating to these issues. And we hope that the other members of the board will consider and will work with us in establishing a policy so we don't have some of the confusion that occurred on Monday night. There will be clarity regarding this. I believe that we have a general policy relating to outside groups requesting that the hours be extended. I seem to remember that in my mind. But I'm not sure. Well, maybe I should ask. I mean, do we have a general policy in place regarding this?
Yes, sir, we do. We have a board policy that requires that we receive funding from an outside source to guarantee any early start or late service operations prior to committing those services.
So that applies not only to early start but to late service as well?
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't clear about. I wasn't sure whether we had that covered. But anyway, we hope to have a discussion about that. Is there further questions for the general manager or comments, Mr. Linton?
Well, I think you might have clarified it, Mr. Chairman, because I did think that we had a policy. In fact, the general manager referenced the policy when he started his remarks. The problem was that there was deviate from the policy that this board established, and that policy had guidelines for everybody.
Thank you very much, Mr. Linton. Further discussion on this matter? Further discussion? All right. We can proceed back to you now, Mr.
Yes,
Cato.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Francis is going to give a presentation on our safety awards recognition for our Rail Star awardees, and I ask that you join me in the center to honor these employees. Francis.
Thank you, Mr. Cato, Mr. Graham. As I've stated on many occasions before, safety is always job number one. And for the past couple of months, we have been recognizing the winners of our Safety Awards program for our Employee Spotlight. Today, we will be honoring the Rail Star awardees. These are the rail operators and controllers who are being honored, awarded gold, silver, or bronze awards for having gone at least 15, 10, or 5 years, respectively, without being involved in a safety-related incident. Each of our recipients' record is free of violations of any metro rules and procedures and any disciplinary actions. Our gold Rail Star recipient today has met all of the criteria in 15 consecutive years safely operating a rail transit vehicle. Do you please join me in recognizing Mr. William M. Duckett, Jr.? Our Silver Rail Star recipients have at least 10 consecutive years of safely operating a rail transit vehicle. So please join me in recognizing Mr. George M. Johnson. Mr. Willie B. Meade. And Ms. Lisa D. Woodruff. Bronze Rail Star recipients have at least 5 consecutive years of safely operating a rail transit vehicle. So please join me in recognizing first Mr. Kenneth Hayes. Hayes. Mr. Joseph W. Latney. Mr. Kenneth G. Newell. And Mr. Eugene F. Sidbury.
Well, again, thank you very much for this great performance. Let's have another round of applause. some of you may have noticed, we also have a little height in the room. Very nice. Very, very nice indeed. All right. Now, Mr. Cato, have you completed your report?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I complete my report.
Excellent. Now we will proceed to the report of the Finance Administration and Oversight Committee. Mr. Benjamin.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, the first item for our action is the 2010 Metro Access Program. Our paratransit services have been wildly popular, and as has happened in the last several years, the amount of ridership has vastly exceeded the amount budgeted. The result is that the contract that is in place for providing this service is running out of money. There is a request from staff, which the Finance Administration Oversight Committee approved and sent on to the board, to add $6.5 million to the contract. This will carry the contract through June 30th of 2009. I move approval.
It's been moved by Mr. Benjamin. Is there a second? It's been seconded by Mr. Zimmerman. Discussion? 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 Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. The motion is approved. Mr. Benjamin.
The second item in your book is a capital budget amendment for the Anacostia Light Rail project. This is a reimbursable project for the District of Columbia. At the current point, the budget is $16,100,000. The staff has asked that the funding, and the district has asked that the funding level for this be increased by $860,000, all of which is available from interest earnings and therefore is on deposit at the authority. This budget increase is needed because of delays in the program and the cost of maintaining the equipment that has already been purchased. I move approval.
It's been moved by Mr. Benjamin. Is there a second? It's been seconded by Mr. Albert. Discussion, discussion, discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. The motion is approved. Mr. Benjamin.
I have no further items.
Very good. Thank you very much, Mr. Benjamin. Now we proceed to the report of the Planning, Development, and Real Estate Committee. Mr. Albert.
Thank you, Mr. Graham. I'm trying to get closer to the microphone.
Yeah, push the button.
I did. On April 9th, staff presented the Planning, Development, and Real Estate Committee with a proposed set of service standards for project development and bus operations on Metro's Priority Corridor Network, or PCN as it's called. At a special committee meeting held this morning, the staff provided responses to some of the key concerns raised at the April 9th meeting. At this morning's meeting, the committee approved the staff recommendations to return to the PDRE committee at the May 7th meeting with a revised Priority Corridor Network Service Standards item for further discussion and board action. Today, however, we recommended that we move approval of a resolution that will encourage Metro staff to continue to take a leadership role on behalf of Metro in developing a regional application for bus prioritization investments under the federal economic stimulus legislation. This legislation is being forwarded to the full board for approval today, and so I move this resolution.
Second. It's been moved by Mr. Albert, seconded by Mrs. Hutchins, I believe. Is that right? Oh, excuse me, Ms. Hewlett. I beg your pardon, Ms. Hewlett. Is there discussion? Discussion? Discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to have what I hope will be a friendly amendment.
Mrs. Hutchins, please.
And that we resolve that the Board of Directors conveys its to the Transportation Planning Board support for the development of the regional application for enhanced regional bus projects.
Is there objection to that amendment? Is there objection? Hearing none, the amendment is incorporated. We are now on the main motion. We're on the main motion. Discussion, discussion, discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. The motion is approved. Mr. Albert.
The second item is the extension of an agreement between for the Shore Florida Avenue's property at a committee meeting held last month. The committee approved a 120-day extension for negotiating a revised term sheet for the Shaw Howard University Florida Avenue parcels. There is no funding impact for this extension, and the staff will come back to us with a negotiated agreement, which will be brought before the board. So I do move approval of the 120-day extension for negotiating a revised term sheet for the Shaw Howard University Florida Avenue parcels.
It's been moved by Mr. Albert. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been seconded by Mrs. Hudson. Is there discussion? 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 Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no. The ayes have it. Would you please record me as voting present on that motion? Thank you. Is there further discussion? Further business, Mr. Albert?
No further business of the committee.
Very good. We now proceed then to the report by the Customer Service Operations and Safety Committee, Mr. Zimmerman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The committee, of course, met earlier this morning and has two items for action for the board today. Both concern approvals of artwork proposals. The first for the Dulles project with the phase one extension. We heard a full presentation on the proposal for five different stations for art in each of the five stations. And the blue item before you contains the resolution by which the board would give its approval. The funding comes entirely from the jurisdictionally supported project, essentially. In other words, it's not our money. It's being paid for entirely by the Dulles Construction Project and the funds of the principal available to the agency doing the project, which, of course, is the Metropolitan Washington Airports Authority. The committee recommends approval, and on behalf of the committee, I move adoption of the resolution.
It's been moved by Mr. Zimmerman, seconded by Mrs. Hutchins. Is there discussion? 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 Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. The motion is approved. Mr. Zimmerman.
Mr. Chairman, the second item is artwork being donated for the Farragut North Station. Again, we heard a full presentation. This involves a partnership, particularly with the Golden Triangle bid. Again, the funds are being provided from outside the agency. Committee recommends approval, and on behalf of the committee, I move adoption.
It's been moved by Mr. Zimmerman. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Albert. Is there discussion? 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 Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. The motion is approved. Further, Mr. Zimmerman?
That concludes my report. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Now we move now to the administrative items. We have administrative item number one. Yes, Mr. Zimmerman.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the recommendations for administrative items listed as 11, 1 through 11 be approved en bloc.
Second. It's been moved to approve administrative items 1 through 11 in bloc. Is there, as seconded by Mr. Benjamin, is there discussion on administrative items 1 through 11? Discussion, discussion, discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. All 11 items are approved.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Zimmerman.
I would like to comment on one of the items that we had just approved. We did, within that, there are some improvements involving the 1000 series rail cars. And while this is the item's fine, and I just want to take the opportunity to observe that the 1000 series are our oldest vehicles.
Yes.
We have about 300 of them.
We have 300.
And they are now 33 years old or thereabouts. So they're about to come to the end of their useful life. And I suspect, I don't know, and I'm not going to make you tell us, but I suspect the kinds of things you're having to fix now are the kind of things we're going to see more and more of on vehicles that are that old. And one of these improvements, one of these repairs basically, involves about 10% of that fleet. And I observe this because earlier in your report you noted that we accepted 20 more rail cars. Actually,
yeah.
The last 20 rail cars of the 6000 series order. We now have no more coming. So it's great to note that we're now up to the biggest fleet we've ever had. We're deploying more rail cars than ever before successfully, and people are riding on them. But it is important to understand that if we don't deal with our capital problem, we're going to have a serious problem in the next few years as these cars that are so old begin to fail on us. We have no expansion possible, and we're working with older equipment. If we were ordering them today, you'd be 4 or 5 years out from having replacements?
At least 3 to 4 years.
And the only, I mean, we have right now the development for an RFP or whatever we're calling it, for a 7,000 series rail cars. The only part of that order we know we're going to get are the ones that are dedicated to the Dulles Project and paid for by the Dulles Project.
That is true.
There are options that we built into that so we could actually replace this fleet of cars. But that only can be exercised if we identify the funding, something we have not yet done.
That is true.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Mr. Zimmerman. Now we proceed to reports by the District of Columbia. Mr. Albert. Let me just add that on April the 20th, my committee at the Council on Public Works and Transportation, did hold our budget hearing on Metro WMATA, and we had testimony by Mr. Cato and others. We also had the Director of Transportation for the District of Columbia, Mr. Gabe Klein, testifying simultaneously about certain transportation issues involving both the District of Columbia and Metro WMATA. And we are planning our markup on the budget for Metro WMATA, which, by the way, is a total from the District of Columbia of approximately $300 million in both capital and, pardon me?
$302 million.
$302 million, thank you, I stand corrected. $302 million from the District of Columbia in operations, capital, and reimbursable services, which is a lot of money from us for this, but we're planning to have our markup. We scheduled our markup for that budget on April the 29th. Report from Maryland, Mr. Linton.
No report. Can't top that one, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. From a report from Virginia, Mrs. Hutchins.
I would just like to thank the folks who attended the public hearing. Five people attended and spoke, but I would like to note that they attended a public hearing in the jurisdiction that is not proposing cuts. So I am certain that it was determined by the fact that we were not cutting service. I would also say that what we heard was that they spoke mostly about the cuts that were occurring in other areas and the impact that they would have on them, as well as the option that they would really like to have opined on the fact that they wanted a fare increase, if that was an option to an alternative for services. But I do appreciate their participation, and it is does reflect the input of our customers when it affects their service delivery.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Zimmerman.
We had a slightly livelier hearing in Arlington with, as you heard, about 25 people, 16 of whom testified. It was also our experience, though, that most of the people were coming to talk about something else. Arlington not having proposed any cuts, but there were people, not surprisingly, who came from Alexandria, and our hearing really covers Alexandria as well, concerned about particularly the 10A. But we had quite a few from other jurisdictions. I had several people from Maryland and the District of Columbia. I had a couple of people who commute from Maryland down to their work in Arlington, which is not that surprising. But what was interesting is I had a few people come who testified that their trip is not on the rail system, as most of the people who typically would live in Montgomery County and maybe work in Arlington, but they have a bus commute that works out very well for them, involving, I want to say, the D5, does that sound right?
D5.
If I remember that correctly. And so, you know, it involves a couple of bus routes, and they find that, you know, optimal. But some of the changes that I wouldn't have even necessarily had reason to pay close attention to on routes I don't know, because I don't know a lot about Montgomery County bus service, you know, could potentially affect them, and they took the opportunity to come to testify at the hearing we held in Arlington. And the point being just that it is very useful information. I hear not only from my own folks who, you know, will regularly communicate with me, but it's an opportunity to understand the regional nature of our service. Many of the people were coming to testify that, you know, they're on a service that crosses the county line, and some of which ends up in my jurisdiction and some of which goes the other way. So it was a very useful exercise, a number of specific questions which I have submitted, and I'm looking forward to answers from staff. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Zimmerman. Ms. Hewlett?
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, Mr. Linton?
I was trying to not get engaged in this, but since we've had each one of the jurisdictions to talk about the hearings, the one thing I will comment, and we also had a number of constituents from outside of Maryland that testified at our hearing, some of which actually came from the district. But what I would also say is I was most impressed by a group of students who testified at our hearing, who were very astute and very, very well-spoken and had very good factual information in terms of issues relating to their use of buses. And the one thing that occurred with me after I thought about this a little later on, I thought at one point we had a member of Iraq, if I believe, was in fact a student representative. Yes. And I don't think we have any. We still have one currently?
Okay. Yes, we do have somebody. He's a college student.
Okay, okay, all right. Because I was going to suggest that we might want to reach out to, but since that position is already filled, there's a way to keep those young students engaged. I think it's a good way to do that. But that's it.
Thank you very much, Mr. Linton. And we now proceed to consider this motion. I move that the board meet in executive session to discuss personnel, legislative strategy, and labor matters consistent with Board Procedure Roman numeral 6C, contractual matters consistent with Board Procedure Roman numeral 6D, legal matters consistent with Board Procedure Roman numeral 6B, and legislative strategy consistent with Board Procedure Roman numeral 6H. The meeting, is there a second to the motion?
Second.
It's been moved, seconded by Mrs. Hutchins. The meeting, Ms. Hewlett, oh, the voices are, it's coming from the, Ms. Hewlett seconded the motion. The meeting is now suspended to consider the items for executive session. The board will reconvene, did you hear that bit? The board will reconvene in public session to vote on items discussed in executive session if necessary. And that will happen at the conclusion of executive session and in compliance with our board procedure. Thus, the meeting is now suspended.
Yes.
I thought we voted on them.
No, we didn't.
We didn't. Oh, my goodness. Thank you very much, Mr. Zimmerman. All those in favor of the motion to meet in executive session, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. The meeting is now suspended.
So if we don't come back.